Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone has had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason. I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. But we are now on the ninth commandment of God's Ten Commandments. Last week, we talked about how we should not steal. And as we've done every single week when talking about the commandments of God, we went over the physical act that God does not want us to do. Yes, we should not take things that are not ours, but we also looked at what is happening in our hearts when we steal. If we are stealing, that means we are not trusting in God, that we are saying that we do not have what we want or what we need, and we're saying that I'm going to obtain this myself because God's not going to do it. And we looked at a story in Genesis with a man named Abraham, where we got to see what full trust in God truly looks like. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his one and only son Isaac to God, all because Abraham had full trust in the Lord. He said, no matter what happens, I know that God is good, that God has a plan, and that I'm going to follow it. What happens is when they go up on the mountain to do the sacrifice, God then sends an angel to stop Abraham before he actually sacrifices his son. And we see that God keeps his promises to Abraham because he was fully trusting in him. This week, we're talking all about another way that we are to treat our neighbors. And this one is in Exodus 20:16. And it says, "You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor." So what does it mean to give false testimony? I've had some discussions with people about this, and they were telling me, well, this has to do with, like, in a court of law, that you're going to tell the truth there, and that's what that looks like. And yes, that is true. It is a very small piece of what that actually means. And I wanted to break it down as simple as possible for you to understand. What this means is quit your lying, okay? No more lying. We're not doing that. Do not say anything untrue about someone else. There's the obvious reasons, and that's because it hurts people when we say false things. And when I say no lies, there's a whole bunch of things that we need to cover that go into this as well. So you have your gossiping. There's no gossiping. You know, when you have a piece of information, you go and tell other people, and it may or may not be true, but you know what, you're going to go out there and say it, or maybe you inflate it and you make it bigger than it actually is. No slandering, no tearing down someone else's character. We're not supposed to be saying, oh, did you see what that person's doing? Oh, they're the worst. Or we're talking badly about someone else. No whispers about somebody else. All of this talk that we're talking about here, this is lies. This is bearing false witness. If you know me, you know the one thing that I dislike more than anything else is lies. I cannot stand it. Lying is worse than whatever crime that you've committed. When you do something wrong, my policy is always tell the truth. I tell this to the kids all the time. You've already done something wrong. You did something you weren't supposed to. Now own up to it. Don't try to hide it. Don't try to make up a story. It is better for you to come right out and say the truth, because guess what? Your lies are going to have a bigger consequence than whatever you did at that moment. And that's because when you lie, it causes so many more problems. It breaks the trust. It makes me question what you're saying. So the things that you used to say to me back there, was any of this true? Was some of it lies? In the future, when you're talking to me, I'm going to ask myself, so are you telling me the truth or are you telling me a lie? It shows me that you're not wanting to take responsibility for the things that you've done. Lying starts this chain reaction of terrible things that happen. And that's because lying is something we are not supposed to do. There's nothing good in it. And we're going to look at what Jesus says about lying in John 8, 31 through 44. John 8, 31 through 44. From the front, I read from the NIV Bible. If you'd like to follow along in the same Bible that I am using, there are some in the rows there. We have a stack in the back. If you do not own a Bible, please take one with you. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. We're going to go ahead and read John 8, 31 through 44. It says, "To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in my Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So first thing I want to point out is verse 31, we can't get enough of this. I love this part. It is so uplifting. He says, if you hold to my teaching, Jesus is telling us, you are his disciple. When we're trying to live a life that is serving and honoring God by doing what God has asked us to do, we are truly followers of Christ. You are carrying the name Christian, and you are carrying it well because you are following him with everything you have. And it says that we will be set free from our sins. We are saved. We are in the care of God. I cannot hear that enough because I need that reminder to know that in this world, through all the dumb things that I've done, God still loves me and I can follow him and be a part of his family. And here we see Jesus is talking to the Jews that do not want to hear what he has to say. They have rejected Jesus, and Jesus knows their hearts. He called them out multiple times throughout this chapter, telling them, you don't want to follow God. You want to kill me. You don't want to listen to what I have to say. And it gets really truthful in verse 44. Jesus says, you do not belong to God. These people who know God's law, these people who know what God is asking for them and from them, these people who are called the chosen people of God. He says, you know what? You're not following God. He says, you'll not accept me, and I was foretold. And he says, it's all because you belong to the devil. And it says that when the devil lies, he's speaking his native language. So when you speak Russian, you are speaking that country's native language. When you are speaking Japanese, you are speaking that country's native language. When you are lying, you are speaking the devil's language. Ooh, nobody wants to be associated with the devil. To be said, wow, you're just like your father. You talk just like him. Oh, all the lies that are being spewed out of your mouth. We've been told many times over and over again that we should not lie. We've seen the repercussions that happen when people lie. But when we read Jesus' words here, that when you're lying, you're speaking the devil's language, I think it puts a little more perspective into what's actually coming out of our mouths. We don't want to be associated with him. We don't want to say that, yes, he's our father. But when you think about it, it makes a lot of sense that that is his native language. Because nothing good ever comes from lies. Nothing good ever comes from Satan. And I've had many conversations with people that say, yeah, but there are some lies that, you know, are necessary, that Sometimes you got to make these lies. And what do we call them? We call them little white lies. And I love that we say the word little. Well, it's a little lie. So it's not a huge lie. I'm doing a small one. So it's not as bad. And then we say it's a little white lie. So it's like a positive light. It's a good thing that I'm not telling the truth. And so we're going to go over a scenario here. Honey, does this dress make me look fat? And you go, no, you look great. It's fantastic. I love it. I know I'm treading on like very thin ice right here. So I need to explain a lot of what's going on here. So first I want to say, wait, that doesn't mean that when she asks you, do I look fat in this? You go, yeah, definitely. You look really fat. No, don't do that either. And you shouldn't say things like, yeah, I agree. We should have salad tonight. That's definitely what's going to be best. Don't say those things, but you should tell them something in love and in truth. Maybe, you know what, that's not really my favorite. You could even, you know, depending on how your relationship is, if you had a fight last night, don't say this one, but, you know, you could say, it's not the most flattering. It doesn't look that great. And some of you are going, I would never say that, and that's okay. But you should say something along the lines of truth. Because the truth is, not all clothes look great on someone at certain points. There are moments you walk out, you put on that shirt, and you're like, this looks great. And there are other moments when you walk out and you go, wow, that's like a sack of potatoes with a shirt. You know, it happens sometimes. But you need to be truthful in love. There's no need to lie. And it's funny, because I've actually seen that lie backfire on some men. Because they will say to their wife, I love that outfit, you look great in it. And then there'll be some pictures taken. And then those pictures will come up. And what normally would happen to me, because it's happened to me before, my wife will come up and slap me a couple times and she'll go, why'd you let me wear that? Well, anyways, back to the Bible. So Jesus is saying that we need to live in truth. We need to live in His truth, and we have to follow God's command. And this week, we are going over the command to let only truth come out of your mouths, because the lies, they're from Satan. So Paul also gives us a reminder of how we should be living in Ephesians. So we're going to turn to Ephesians 4, 17 through 20, no, 32. It's a lot more than I thought. Ephesians 4, 17 through 32. This was a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. And this is a reminder to all of those who claim to be followers of Christ how we are to live. And he's going to hit on a few things that we've been talking about when going over the Ten Commandments. So if you've been following along to these sermons over the last 8 weeks, you're going to recognize some of the things here. So let's read Ephesians 4, 17 through 32. It says, so I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned. When you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Starts off pretty plainly. It's saying, for all of you who claim to know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and that He's died for you, you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, as those who are not following Christ. The way of living that they're living is not a godly lifestyle. It's not what God has asked us to do. Paul says that they are separated from God because they are ignorant. They do not know what God wants for them. They do not know about the love and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. They do not know about the commands that God is asking them to follow. And then he goes through a few things that we have to stop doing. But verse 25, it hits this week's message. He says, put off falsehood and speak truthfully. Again, simple way of saying that is, stop lying. Stop faking it. Stop speaking words that you know are not true. Do not put on a front that is not real. Do not make up stories about anything in your life. Only speak the truth. I know as Christians, that's something that we can struggle with. We want to make sure it looks like we have it all together, that we're doing great. Guess what? You're not. Otherwise, we wouldn't need Jesus, okay? We need His help, His love, His patience. We have to let it know, everybody's, tell them, yes, I'm struggling. Yes, I need help. Yes, I need friends. I need God. Stop putting on the falsehood that everything is fine. And then it goes through more. And if you've been following along in this series, we've talked about quite a few of these in depth. Do not have anger towards one another. Do not steal. We covered that last week. Then in verse 29, Paul talks about our words again. Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. And lying is included in this. But anything that is not building and glorifying to others and God, we have to stop speaking these words. It says we need to get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander. And then I love at the end, he just kind of covers the whole thing. And he says, and any other form of malice, which means anything that you do that has evil intent. If you're looking to do something wrong or hurt others, just don't do that. It's not a good thing. But as I've been saying, we usually get a list of don'ts. But what's amazing about the Bible is he gives us some do's as well. Verse 32, he says, be kind and be compassionate. He says, forgive one another. And he tells us why we should do that. Because God has forgiven all of us of everything that we've done. And God judges the heart. Make sure we are forgiving each other. So we're going to take a look at one more story. That's in Acts 5, 1 through 11. Acts 5, 1 through 11. This takes place after Jesus' resurrection. Jesus has ascended back to heaven. The Holy Spirit has now come down to be in the followers of Christ. And we see the amount of believers in Christ is growing, meaning that the church is growing, the first church. All the people that are gathering for the first time in the name of Jesus Christ are gathering here in Acts. And we're going to read exactly what happens with a couple. It's Acts 5, 1 through 11. It says, now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "that is the price." Peter said to her, "How could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. The young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. So it starts out with a couple in the church, and they're named Ananias and Sapphira. And what was happening at this time is that many of the believers, they were taking their properties and their possessions, and they were selling them. And the reason they were selling them is so they could share with all the believers and to help those who are in need. Ananias and Sapphira, they decide to sell some of their land and give that money to God for the church to build God's kingdom. But Ananias and Sapphira, they have deceit in their heart. Peter is told by the Holy Spirit that Ananias and Sapphira, they're up to no good. Instantly, Ananias is confronted by Peter because Peter knows that he's being deceitful, that he's not actually looking to help God's mission, but that Ananias is being completely selfish here. And it's interesting to read what Peter says because even Peter is shocked. He's saying, "Why would you do this, man? I don't understand. It is your money. You sold that land willingly. You got all that money. And then you said, I'm going to go ahead and give it all to the church. I'm going to take this property and I'm going to make sure it's all for you. But that's not what you were doing. No one's making you do this. This is something you are choosing to do." And it's because Ananias' heart, it was filled with lies. And then he says, "But the problem is, you're not just lying to us. You're not just lying to people." He says, "You're trying to lie to God." And then in the next moment, Ananias falls down dead. Then his wife Sapphira comes in, and she has the same intentions as her husband. But Peter actually gives her a chance because Ananias walked in, and Peter's like, "Oh, something's wrong." But he says to his wife, and he says, "Is this all the money from the sale of the land?" So they're claiming this is it. This is all of it. This is to help the church and God's people. And she decides to lie as well. And she says, "Yep, that's everything. That's all of it." And she is told by Peter that her husband just lied as well and that he died right here. And you hear this story and people think, this is a crazy punishment. This is so much. And I've heard so many people ask the question to me when we go over this, but I don't understand. Why did they die? This is the New Testament. This is after Jesus. Why were they struck dead? We have to first know it's not that they fell down dead because they didn't give all their money to the church. That is a misconception. That's not true. I'm not saying give all your money or die. Okay, no, that's not what this story is saying here. Yes, we are called to give our money to build God's kingdom, to help the mission, to help the spread of the gospel. We have to know that was not their intent. God sees what we cannot. God looks at the heart. They fell down dead where they stood because their hearts were filled with sin. Their hearts were filled with lies. And we have to understand they were doing it at a very pivotal part of the spreading of the gospel. This is the early church. This was the big moment that was happening where they were going out and people were starting to believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And obviously, God knew that Ananias and Sapphira, they could not live with committing this sin and causing all the troubles that would come from it. And so God made a judgment. This does not mean that we should live in fear that the next time that we lie, that we will be struck dead. But I'm not judge, jury. I'm not the one that makes that decision. But But what this does do, it shows us the severity of what a lie is. God despises lying. And we read throughout the Old and New Testament that He hates this sin. He wants us to stop doing it. God wants us to follow Him instead of our earthly wants and desires. God wants us to speak His language, which is the truth. We are not to speak the language of Satan. And that brings me to the challenge for this week. God is commanding us to not lie. When you're put in a hard situation, ask for God to give you the words. It is better for you to say nothing than to speak untruth. This includes gossiping, putting others down, or in any way speaking badly of other people in a false way. Let your language be of God and not of Satan. And someone asked me, so I don't understand. So where would you put sarcasm? If you know me at all, I'm very sarcastic. And yes, sarcasm is kind of like humor lies. That's kind of what, it's a lie, but with humor. Does that make it okay? No. But it all comes down to your heart. If you're being sarcastic to tear people down and hurt them, then it's not okay. If you're using sarcasm and they know you're joking and you're having a good time and it's one of those things where you can have a fun conversation with no hurt, then use it. But it's one of those things, use it at discretion. Speak truth only. And then after first service, I had somebody come up to me and said, yeah, instead of speaking lies or, you know, confronting, you know, do I look fat in the dress? He said, I just walk away. Whatever you got to do, just make sure your language, the language of God, and not the language of Satan. Let's go ahead and pray. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for every opportunity you give us to learn more about you, to know what you want for us and from us. It's all so that we can live a life that is holy and righteous, so that we can glorify you. When we go out there and we speak truth, it will change lives in your name. I pray that when we are put in situations where we want to speak things that are not true, that you put it on our hearts to either be silent or you give us the words to speak that are true. You are an amazing God who loves us through everything that we do. I pray that we can use our mouths to praise you and to speak truth. We love you. We thank you. In your name I pray. Amen.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.